Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, November 4th, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Moscow Council moves forward with downtown public restroom. Eastern Idaho man claims police brutality. Pullman City Council to hold joint meeting with Associated Students of Washington State University Senate tomorrow night. Assotin County judge denies injunction request from prospective cannabis retailers in Clarkston. And polls are open until 8 p.m. in Idaho, and 8 p.m. is the deadline to get mail-in ballots in drop boxes in Whitman County. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. A 26-year-old Rigby man has filed a claim in 7th District Court against the City of Idaho Falls, Police Chief Mark McBride, and Idaho Falls Police Officers Darren Cook and Scott Killian, claiming police brutality. Keegan Kinghorn said police forced him to the ground and broke his nose, chipped his teeth, caused concussion symptoms and damaged a bone near his eye socket after police were called by a woman who wanted Kinghorn to leave her home where he was staying. Police say Kinghorn at first complied and then resisted. Kinghorn pled guilty to misdemeanor battery on a police officer and disturbing the peace in the incident and was sentenced to 2 years probation and credited with 34 days spent in jail. Police say Kinghorn spit blood on paramedics at the scene. Kinghorn said he needed 30 stitches to his face because of his injuries. The Associated Press said city spokesperson Kerry McCullough and police spokesperson James Hoffman would not comment on the pending lawsuit. The Pullman City Council will hold a final public hearing tomorrow night on the city's fiscal year 2015 budget. At a previous public hearing on the budget last month, only one member of the community testified. Pullman City Council meetings are normally held on Tuesday nights, but this one was moved to Wednesday due to the elections. Also tomorrow night, the council will hold a joint meeting with the Associated Students of Washington State University Senate. The city's agenda for the joint meeting includes a marijuana update addressing where it's legal to use, taxicab service, glass in single stream recycling, urban agriculture, a transit update, dog leash law and dog poo pickup, bikes and bike paths, and a fire and ambulance update. The student items on the agenda are an airport update, road maintenance, tobacco-free advisory task force update, green bike maintenance, McGee Park lighting, recycling, military discounts, ASWSU philanthropy, and opening local businesses in Pullman. The Pullman City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tomorrow at City Hall. Embattled real estate mogul Tim Blixeth answered questions from creditor attorneys for several hours in Butte yesterday. Creditors want to find out what happened to $241 million of Blixeth's fortune. U.S. bankruptcy judge Ralph Kircher closed the questioning to the press, and an emergency hearing on behalf of an appeal by the Associated Press and Bozeman Daily Chronicle occurred too late to change the closure. Blixeth's attorney say his fortune, estimated by Forbes magazine to be $1.3 billion in 2008, was lost to legal fees, divorce, and the economic recession. Creditors accused Blixeth of transferring or concealing $241 million in assets in California and Montana. Yellowstone Club Liquidating Trust board member Brian Glasser told the Associated Press, "I don't believe him, not for a minute. We're going to try to figure out where everything is and where everything went." Blixeth owned the 13,600-acre Yellowstone Club near Big Sky, Montana, which attracted millionaire members, but the club went into bankruptcy as he and his wife took most of a $375 million loan from Credit Suisse for themselves. Assotin County Superior Court Judge Scott D. Galina yesterday denied a motion by a Clarkston couple for an injunction or temporary restraining order against the city of Clarkston, which is moving forward with a ban on recreational cannabis businesses. Kelly and Julie Jackson are suing the city of Clarkston and four city council members who voted last month to draft the ordinance. The Jacksons say they invested over $400,000 in the Armory building on 6th Street in Clarkston. They say they are being denied $200,000 in gross income each month. They cannot open the store, which would result in $40,000 monthly net income. The ruling came after attorney Rick Laws arrived at the Asotin County Courthouse in costume on Halloween to file a lawsuit on behalf of two Clarkston business owners who want to open a cannabis retail outlet. Laws, dressed as a Jedi from the Star Wars movie franchise, filed the suit against the city and council members Terry Beatles, Bill Provost, George Nash, and Kelly Blackman. Yesterday, Judge Galena said, "Now is not the time to consider the lawsuit." The Jacksons contend State Initiative 502 prevents municipalities from outright bans on recreational cannabis businesses. Clarkston Mayor Kathleen Warrant told the Lewiston Tribune the suit was expected because Laws had talked about doing it at previous city council meetings. However, City Attorney Todd Richardson called the filing the Friday night ambush. Richardson said he wants the Jacksons to pay $1,000 in attorney's fees because he was forced to work on the issue over the weekend. Richardson told Judge Galena, "This type of ambush is improper and unreasonable. The moratorium on recreational marijuana passed by the city earlier this year expires at the end of November. The council will likely take action on the ban at the November 24th council meeting. The Jacksons want to open Canna for Life LLC November 25th, but they must show the State Liquor Control Board the city has provided them with a retail marijuana license." Thurston County Superior Court Judge Christine Schaller has issued a ruling saying the Washington Liquor Control Board broke Washington open meeting laws 17 times as the board worked to create recreational marijuana rules. Schaller said even though the law was broken, the matter did not rise to the level of needing to throw out the rules, which were eventually adopted. At issue were 3 months of meetings in early 2013, not long after Washington residents passed I-502, legalizing recreational cannabis. Liquor Control Board spokesperson Brian Smith told the Associated Press, "In the early months following the passage of I-502, there were many questions about what legalization meant for local communities. When board members traveled around the state to hold public forums, they took time to meet with representatives of local government, law enforcement, and the prevention community, typically at their request. At these meetings, LCB staff shared the proposed timeline for implementation, explained the process the agency would use for gathering feedback, and the board members listened to any concerns." The Moscow City Council voted unanimously last night to spend $10,000 on the final design for a public restroom near Friendship Square downtown. A task force recommended the bathroom contain two toilets for males and two for women located in the Jackson Street parking lot, approximately behind the Chamber of Commerce. The facility would also include a diaper changing table. The estimated cost of the project would be $143,000. At last night's meeting, City Parks and Recreation Director Dwight Curtis outlined the benefits of providing a public restroom downtown.
First off, I mean, you're benefiting the Moscow citizens that visit the downtown area. I mean, when you have to go, you have to go. I mean, it's just, I don't know what higher need there is than that at times. Then you have the out-of-town visitors that visit the downtown area. You have the farmers market, the people that attend that and work that. You have the downtown special events. This also, it lessens the burden to the downtown businesses. We were talking about 8,000 visitors to the farmer's market. That, let's just say all 8,000 of those needed to use a restroom, and they're going into the businesses or the police department to take care of that and not necessarily buying things. So it is a burden, even though some have welcomed and, you know, opened the doors to that. Also a restroom facility it is a park. You know, not all of our parks, but it is normal to have a restroom in a public park. It's an improved downtown sanitary. It just improves the conditions down there when, especially in the evening time, things are dark and maybe somebody has gone to the restroom outside, or a lot of businesses might be closed. It reduced infractions due to that. I don't know what how many infractions there are, but it's still a benefit, I think. Increased economic benefit by providing needed services. It's a good investment of public funds. There's the proximity to the playground in our proposal, where this would be located. Architecturally, it's aesthetic. It'd be an aesthetic asset to the downtown area. It meets the expectations of any visitor to any vibrant downtown area, and I think our downtown is very vibrant. This is just something that's just needed. And it would be an established, well-signed, available, critical service.
That was Moscow Parks and Recreation Director Dwight Curtis at last night's Moscow City Council meeting. Task Force Member and Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Gina Tarusio told the council the U.S. Department of Agriculture might be tapped for some of the construction costs because the restrooms would be serving the Moscow Saturday Farmers Market crowds. Curtis said the task force discussed whether the bathroom could be built near the fountain on the east side of Main Street, but a business owner there objected to that location. Councilmember Art Bedke suggested locating the restroom near the police station on East 4th Street, which would reduce the risk of vandalism. Curtis said the task force did not consider a location near the police station, and he did not know if there would be room in that area. The motion by Councilmember Wayne Krause deliberately left out the restroom's construction funding plan, but included money for location, type, and design. City Attorney Gary Reedner said construction money could be allocated during a future city budget process. Curtis told the council the task force recommended the city begin construction in fiscal year 2017. In other business, the council approved phase 2 and phase 3 of the design plan for a $15,000 pedestrian and bike underpass below State Highway 8 at Steiner and White Avenues. The path would be placed alongside Paradise Creek. Polls are open in Idaho until 8 p.m. If you're east of Main Street in Moscow, vote at the ASUI Kibbe Dome. If you're, that's west of Main Street, rather. And if you're east of Main Street, you vote at the Latah County Fairgrounds Exhibit Building. And 8 p.m. is the deadline to get ballots into boxes at Pullman City Hall at or the Compton Union Building at WSU if you're voting in Washington. Idaho voters don't need to be registered when they show up at the polls. They can register on Election Day. They need proof they've lived at their current address for at least 30 days. Idaho's photo ID law has a provision where those who don't have a photo ID can sign an affidavit attesting who they are at the polling place. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report. The weather for tonight is calling for 20% chance of showers before 10 p.m., patchy fog after 10 p.m., otherwise cloudy, low 44, west winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 25. Tomorrow, patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, high 55. Currently 54 and mostly cloudy at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. I'm Lee Robertus. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. We are going to go to the coverage, the Pacifica Democracy Now! Election Night coverage now. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.